On the surface, what I'm going to tell you seems to be so uplifting, so promising, ancient discovery, just phenomenal in its revelation and capabilities. But it's a hidden part of history that should scare every person on this earth who has the cognitive capacity to realize that the past is a predictor of the future. And what's happened in the past could sure as heck repeat today. And this is frightening beyond belief. And the more that I consider what seems to be a revelatory discovery of amazing significance is also an ominous warning from the past. And one of the things, let me just talk to you frankly. One of the things that I look at here in life is, and you've experienced this as a person, you've looked at something was a hobby, an interest, or whatever, you go, I know it's this. And people around you, oh, no, that's crazy. And you ended up being right. The JFK assassination is one of those things. I spent 30 years of my life researching this. I'm still somewhat actively involved, but not as much as I was. And it turns out that the things I was telling audiences back in the 90s, before I was ever in the media, was correct, very correct. And it was just the ability to look at facts, decipher, connect the dots, didn't take any great intelligence, just took a little stick-to-itiveness, and you had to know a few people. And I did. A professor who remained unnamed who did this secretly, and he said, "You can never tell anyone, Dave, because they might fire me." Okay. And then, of course, Jim Mars, the late Jim Mars, who I talked a lot about. And in my own research going forward, I have repeatedly in the last month made it a mission to try to convince people that there were things here, civilizations here, prior to the one that we have now that's about 6,000 years old. And the evidence is everywhere. And the technology supersedes, in some cases, what we can do. We can't take 80-ton stones and lift them. Can't do it. And then put it with 1/200th of an inch precision on top of a 150-pound stone. Ropes and pulleys don't get it when mechanical cranes can't do it of the biggest variety on the planet Earth. And I just said, hey, the Egyptians didn't build the pyramids. They inherited them. And then we've talked about the significance of pyramids around the planet. And then we've even gone as far to go to Mars and show you Cydonia and compare those structures to what's on Giza, and they're identical. And I said, there's something here. And we're going to talk later over on the TV station, the commonsenseshow.tv, about Professor Brandenburg from Harvard and what he is saying about Mars and its possible connections I've made back to Earth. And it has cataclysmic implications for all of us. Nothing is forever. And what I've learned in my research of history, and I loved history. I used to teach it very early in my career, and I even taught it later in my career, but you can't really make much of a living out of it. But it doesn't mean it hasn't remained a hobby, and I'm not interested in it, and you should be too. We need to understand what it is we're discovering. And what I'm going to tell you appeared on Graham Hancock, although I've been aware of this longer than when Graham Hancock and Joe Rogan talked about it on the Joe Rogan Experience. I'm going to show you a small clip from that show, and then we're going to talk about this discovery, and we're going to bring in all kinds of possibilities. Because when you have a discovery like this and you don't have a firm connection to a civilization other than a shipwreck, and we don't have it linked into known science, this discovery, then we have to make hypotheses. What could this possibly have been? And then you go about looking for confirming data or disconfirming data. And that's what we're going to do here. And then I'm going to continue my research on this. It's called the Kitathea mechanism. And we're going to do that over on the TV side. This is still primarily a geopolitical side, but you've noticed that I've kind of taken a turn because the geopolitical is now beginning to combine with the ancient historical because of the implications on our geopolitics. But the TV station is our best bet for covering this. It also provides the best opportunity for us not to be interfered with. And that really is my major concern, which is why I started the TV, because people don't want you to have this knowledge. They don't. There's hidden history. Let me give you an example. From the very beginning in the Middle Ages, right, when the Catholic Church was the dominant religion in Europe, and people would go to church, and the church lesson was in Latin, but very few of the people spoke Latin. I'm not sure. I mean, if I went to a Christian church in a foreign country, and they spoke a language I wasn't familiar with, I would be able to, by inference and context, be able to tell some of what they were talking about, especially if they got into communion and things like that. But the sermon, it'd be lost upon me. I'd have no idea. And what I'm telling you right now is that the Catholic Church has a history of repressing knowledge. I'll give you, I think, the most solid example of this. And listen, if you're Catholic, no, I'm not talking about your belief in Jesus and your reverence for Mary. I'm not talking about that. Those are all beliefs that I think Christians uniformly agree with. But I'm talking about the practices of hidden knowledge coming out of the Vatican. And the best example in history that I can think of is Galileo had his telescope. Hey, we're not the center of the universe. We're rotating around the sun, and other planets are too. It's not that the universe revolves around us. Extreme egocentric view. And so he was going to be tried for heresy. And the Catholic cardinals said, "We're going to get you." And he says, no, look, I can prove what I'm telling you. Could you please come to my observatory and look in the telescope, and I'll explain to you what you're seeing?" And they could not refuse because this was a public invitation. So now the public's watching. Well, the cardinals went to his observatory and they looked in the telescope, but they did this. They covered their eyes. So when they were done, they could truthfully say, "I didn't see a thing." And he was tried for heresy. This is an example of what I'm talking about. And then one of the things that I'm going to start to research in relationship to this discovery are the Knights Templar. We know that they were really the first real bankers. They predated the Rothschilds and all that stuff, the Bank of England. We knew all of that. But I think they were also guardians of the science. And I think now I'm going to have to look at the Knights Templar in a different light. I think they had some of this knowledge. There are things that we find on this planet. The most obvious example are the pyramids. And by the way, we're going to cover this over on our TV show. What's underneath the pyramids that has been discovered through scanning imagery? Well, there's been requests made to Zahi Hawass, who's the head of the Egyptian Historical Society, and anything that contradicts the fact that Egypt didn't build these pyramids, he blocks any investigation. He banishes anyone that finds something that did it, like the King's Chamber and a little passageway there. And they sent an automaton robot down. And he found that out and banned the researcher from Germany. You'll believe what we tell you. We don't care what the facts say. And even in the modern era, I've interviewed Brent Hite and a couple times on the mound builders, which is kind of the poor man's pyramids. And he has stunning evidence, stunning, arrived at through accepted archaeological means and scientific analysis. And he took it to the National Archives, and it was, "Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. We don't want to hear it." That was from our National Archives. There's always a game to be played. They always say the victors write the history. It's true. That's true. Even in Civil War literature, that said a battle went a certain way, and it was that way, and that's the way it was. And now we're having people look at battlefields as recently as the Civil War and say, there are a lot of things there that were not talked about publicly. And this is what I'm telling you. We have a hidden history. And here is my concern. What I'm going to tell you suggests the end of a civilization, strongly suggests it. So do the pyramids. So do a lot of other things on the earth that we can't explain, nor do we have the technology to duplicate it. What happened to that civilization or those civilizations? The Hopis, after all, say we're in the fifth world, the final world. The Indian Arve basically says the same thing, and ancient Chinese legends say the same. I mean, it's amazing how much collaboration there is between what we call folklore that's meaningless. People just make it up. I don't think they were making things up. I think we need to know what happened because it can have a direct effect on us. And if you know what happened to someone before, then you can take steps to stop it. Let's just use the medical model, okay? We've learned that if you work on your VO2 max and you stay in zone 2 training, which is usually like fast walking, okay, that you really limit all-cause mortality. You reduce the chances of dying early in terms of heart disease and cancer. And we know VO2 max, 5 times predictor, right? We don't have any medicines that can do that. And we know that from research. It's valuable. We've learned from it, and people are extending their lives that pay attention to that. Shouldn't we apply the same curiosity and level of scientific rigor to what happens to civilizations? We know democracies last less than 300 years. Yeah, you can see it happening here in America. We know that from history. But what about civilizations? And we should really determine what happened. And oh, by the way, Dr. Brandenburg's work, Harvard guy, right? On Mars. Oh, wait till you see what we talk about over on the commonsenseshow.tv. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to come back and tell you about a startling discovery that should scare the HE double hockey sticks out of all of humanity. You'll go from, wow, that's fascinating, incredible, tell me more, to what the hell happened? Anyway, we are brought to you by a great sponsor that I owe my life to. You're looking here in a minute if you're watching visually. If not, I'll just explain it to you. This is the Nanosoma starter pack. It's 15% off. And it contains this, which is the spray, which greatly enhances your immune system. It increases vitamin D receptor, regulates the nuclear receptor, works on telomeres, which is a predictor of longevity, as evidenced by Cal Berkeley research. And then you have the Nanosoma gel, which you, for me, the way I've used it was when I was back in the gym recovering from strip lung linings that I was told you couldn't reverse. And the spray really helped me. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. I was so sick. But then when I was in the gym, the old joint problems kicked in. No more. I'm doing things I haven't done in 25 years. And then the final product on there is the skin cream that erases fine lines and wrinkles. And together it's 15% off. And I owe my life to the first two products I just demonstrated. I truly do, and I believe I've extended my lifespan because of this, barring any accidents. So how do you get yours? How do you get started? Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, and you'll get 15% off the starter pack. That's iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Fantastic stuff here. Is my mouse is not working, and we come back here to what I want to talk to you about, and then we're going to show you a quick Joe Rogan clip, and then we're going to come back and talk about implications.
Now, when they found that ancient Greek computer thing... Mm-hmm.
A rusty box pulled from the sea just rewrote history. Not a myth, not a guess. A real ancient machine. It's over 2,000 years old, and it's smarter than you think. Gears, calendars, planet trackers... The Antikythera mechanism is the oldest computer on Earth.
Very few of these have been found, and it may be that ship owners and navigators in Greek times.
Now, scientists say its mystery is solved. But that's not the good news. Because
I'm going to talk about what the good news is here. Joe Rogan just freaked out over this. That's what makes him such a good interviewer, because he's genuinely interested in the topics of which he's interviewing people on. And I think his enthusiasm is contagious with his audience. And it was here, certainly. And it was, or is with me, the anti-Kithra mechanism, or sometimes just called the Kithra mechanism. It's a computer, what you just saw. Now, it's an analog. It's not digital. It's an analog. But let me tell you what it did. Well, first of all, it was discovered in 1901. It was found on a Roman ship that had conquered the Greeks. And it had all kinds of pottery and so forth. But this was made of bronze. Well, that's out of place for the age. Nonetheless, it had gears. And this was found and put in a museum. And it sat there from like 1901 when it was discovered until the modern time when we had CT scans. Uh-oh, now the truth is going to come out. And they couldn't analyze the device without breaking it because it was so fragile because it's 2,000 years old, at least. And as a consequence, they found that this device tracked planets, accurately predicted eclipses, orbital movements of the moon. It was a GPS for ships. They could plot where they were. It wasn't just the Northern Star. This was precise. And the measurements now that have been duplicated through the CT scans and appropriate applications have shown that this worked. And this was 2,000 years ahead of its time. It's only in recent times with digital computers have we surpassed the technology. But they had great knowledge of astronomical events. Now, how did this end up in a Roman ship? And there's been a few others that have been found. I mean, the people that are talking about this like to say, oh, we've discovered the only one. That's not true. There have been a few that have been discovered, but not as many as you would think. And I am not sure that the Romans knew what they had, or perhaps they did. And it would go, aha, I know where Dave is going. What's in Italy? The Vatican. What are they known for? Repression of history and knowledge that doesn't fit this paradigm. No one was supposed to have been this advanced. But from the time of this discovery, man went into the Dark Ages, a period of intellectual retardation that lasted centuries. Well, wait a minute. How do you have a computer on one hand and have just outright ignorance across Europe and the rest of the world on the other? It's interesting, isn't it? It's an interesting question. And how was it that the Romans ended up with this? Because we have no evidence of their scientific research. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just looking here at the things that this computer could do. They didn't even know it was a computer until about 15 years ago, to be exact. Actually, about 18 years ago, 2007 was a landmark year in this. Now, let me explain to you some of the forces that are at work. I've already mentioned one. The Vatican would have certainly repressed this knowledge because it could have possibly threatened their version of history, which is not allowed. That's heresy. And that used to be punishable by banishment or death. Galileo was lucky because he was popular. There's another aspect to this, too. I think the Knights Templar protected this secret for a long time, as they protected many things for a long time. And was the knowledge they possessed, not just the wealth, the reason why the King of France massacred them on Friday the 13th? But what we don't know in history is a lot of people misunderstood. They think all the Knights Templar were wiped out. They weren't. We even have a chapter of Knights Templar in America today. Today, in fact, I actually am going to try to interview the gentleman who's the head of it. And it's an interesting organization. And in many ways, they're guardians, I think, of true history. By the way, they were the first bankers too in Europe too. That's fascinating stuff. But I think the Knights Templar had some of this information. They protected secrets. They went around the world and gathered things. and many of the things they gathered never saw the light of day. Were they doing the cover-up work for the Vatican? I think that's a possibility it should be looked into. Now we have to get into hypotheticals. How do you have this anachronism? How do you have a computer in a civilization that didn't have an automobile or electricity? Remember, electricity will not be discovered, at least in the modern era, until Tesla told Edison to use AC, not DC. I want to give credit where credit's due. It's out of place, is it not? Yeah. Well, what's also out of place is in Egypt, you have 80-ton stones placed on 150-ton stones of 1/200 of inch accuracy that we can't do on a single-family dwelling called a house. And 1/200 of an inch is one whisker on a man's greasy mustache. And we can't duplicate what's there today. Today. And the Egyptians, who didn't even have flushing toilets, were supposed to believe they did this. Zai Hawass, time to grow up and face reality and stop the propaganda. Seriously, let people in and research. Let them look at what's underneath the pyramids. But I digress. Let's go back to some of the possibilities here. I believe that the Greeks inherited some of the Atlantean remnants of that lost civilization. And I believe that probably some of the Atlanteans who escaped their fate went to Greece and helped modernize Greece. And they had some inventions that were out of place with Greek development. And of course, they would have to educate them how to use it. Imagine if you went back to the founding fathers' time and you had the computer, you had the internet, you had jet travel. Would you have to educate these intelligent people we called the founding fathers? Yes, you would. You'd have to bring them up to date. You'd have to show them the science and the intricacies and so forth. And it would just be like magic to them until they understood it. This is what probably happened in Greece. You're looking at something that survived, I think, an advanced civilization that ended up in Greek hands. They probably understood it some. Now, why am I saying this? Because of Plato. Plato, this is why, by the way, let me back up and just say this. This is why I would start my hypothesis with Plato. He talked about Atlantis, and we see remnants. The Bienemy Road is probably the best example. And then also, too, people in the Caribbean, they often refer to themselves as the descendants of Atlantis. You don't hear that in our media, do you? Which are the other guardians of the truth. As I clear my throat when I say truth. So what we're looking at here is something so remarkable that it couldn't have come from the civilization that was discovered on a Roman ship. No, they weren't even close to any of this. The Greeks were closer because I think there was infiltration of remnants from the Atlantis society. And I'll even digress and go to the other side of the world. If you look at ancient legends, the continent of Mu, and the more I research this, the more I'm starting to believe it's true. And you had a group called the Lemurians, and you said, oh, Dave, you talked about them with gold. Yes, I did. Not going to go there on this, but I want to talk about if there was this cataclysmic event, the result of what some people say in legend was a nuclear war between Atlantis and Lemuria, and the tectonic plate shifted, and you had massive tsunamis. And basically, civilization fairly much started over. Did some of the Lemurians survive? And they went into the Mayan culture, and the Mayans had things way beyond what they should have had for technology. And what I mean by that is they were very primitive in their application of advanced scientific knowledge. But we know from incisions they made in the brain, they understood a lot about the brain. They also understood a lot about the central nervous system. We know from the way that they conducted their sacrifices. I don't want to be too graphic here, being in the morning, and I don't want to upset your stomach after breakfast. But some of it's very grotesque, but it's also very scientific. They did things they shouldn't be able to do. And of course, there's the age-old problems. They didn't have guns, but they had pyramids. Is that a little out of place with each other? And they even depicted things like space travel. And see, people say, well, that's proof the aliens came and got them. And I know there's a whole line Do you like the whole TV series called Ancient Aliens? It made a whole genre on this. I think it's more likely the Lemurians could travel into space, and what they were describing was some of the remnants of that technology, most of which didn't survive. And it's also from what legend says, the continent of Mu. By the way, Hawaiian elders talk about this some in the Philippines, in India, in the Arvaic, and in Chinese folklore and the Hopis. Could all of these folklore legends that correspond with each other be wrong? I don't think so. And this discovery speaks to we're not here forever. Is this the time in the fifth world, as the Hopis call us, where Jesus has to come back because no flesh would be left alive if he didn't return? Are things going to turn to be that bad, and is history going to repeat? Well, there is no rule that says the tribulation has to happen in 2030 or 2040 or 2050. It could be 2550 for all we know. And shouldn't we try and strive and have the best society, the best culture, the best civilization, and base it on trade and mutual respect among people and fairness and dealing with people so we don't destroy ourselves like, to me, it appears has happened in the past? What do you think? This is why you know history. This is why you have to study history. We know that when you talk, you don't fight. And I'll tell you another dangerous thing. And I don't think President Trump has a choice because Xi Jinping is out of control right now. He is totally out of control within his own country with his military purge. And in the way he's dealing with the United States, he thinks he should be able to have an unfair trade advantage. And if you don't, by God, we're going to get ready to go to war, which they are doing. And we've talked about that pretty extensively. Xi Jinping is out of place with the modern world. And I'm hoping his people will replace him. And he is primed for a military coup. I saw Gordon Chang interviewed yesterday, great Chinese expert, very intellectual person, if you don't know who he is. And he said, yeah, Xi Jinping's in a lot of trouble, and he'll be lucky if he wakes up alive tomorrow. I totally agree with Gordon on those points. The youth have deserted him, the farmers have deserted him, and now he's committing a purge against 1,300 senior command officers in China. And the elite are trying to sneak out of China by converting their wealth into crypto and leaving systematically by family. And they don't want to be part of this corrupt, inefficient, and failing system. And trying to prevent, to try to preserve the system, they'll do anything, including starting a major war. Shouldn't we learn from history that wars destroy civilizations? It's not the way to go. That's my point for going into China on this. I think that we need to really do a deep dive. And I know some people are doing this work. Let's look at the folklore legends of different civilizations and let's correlate them. And you can do this. You're not going to get a statistical analysis, but you can get what they call a qualitative analysis. And it's a valid research technique that's even used in some PhD dissertations. And it's descriptive, but you find the relationships in the descriptions. And I've already found some, and they're scary because I'm convinced we're not the first civilization. Now, the Bible comes into play here. Is it pre-Adamic? See, there's creation, God, 7 days, right? And then there's Adam. Was there anything in between? We don't know. Is every event covered in the Bible? No. You can't. You'd have a book longer than the state of Arizona. You can't have everything. That's why I scoff at people that think they can add up the generations and say mankind's only 6,000 years old. I think in the modern time you can kind of estimate that, but I don't think that's a hardcore. You can do the analysis in the Bible. Some people get really PO'd when I say that, but I say prove it to me. And I've looked at some of the stuff they've come up with. I'm saying I'm not convinced. And I'd like to be convinced. I would like to have a generation by generation account. What I do know is there's a generation coming up that we better get right with the Lord because there's a day of reckoning coming. I just don't know if it's in our lifetime. And if it's not, then we better be looking at history to try to improve the life that we have now. And it comes down to the fundamental beliefs that are in the Bible: kindness, love, respect. And that's missing with a lot of these leaders. In fact, most of these leaders. My partner, Doug Thornton, in the Doug and Dave Intel Report, he hates government. I will say this. I think Doug is unduly harsh on Trump in some areas. Some of his criticisms are very valid, and some of his criticisms of government are extremely valid. Government is the enemy of people, because people that run government usually do so for their own benefit, to the exploitation of others, and then they try to exploit other governments, and that's how your wars start, and this is where the poop begins. And if we could get leaders in power that respect, but here's the problem. Can we find someone aggressive enough to get elected that will respect the people and other nations? That's the mystery. That's the trick. And this is why I think we keep repeating the cycle. And then there's also natural things that happen, like pole shifts and reversing the magnetosphere. By the way, MSN, I have this pop-up that keeps showing up on my computer, and I did not sign up for it. I tried to get rid of it because it's too geopolitically abusive. But they've started running this science stuff that I've mentioned. Yesterday, they talked about a hole in the magnetosphere. Well, if it's reversing, that's what you would expect. And you're not just going to find one hole, you're going to find many. And could this lead to an extinction level event with a few survivors where people start over? I've covered a lot of things here, but one of the things I hope that you take seriously is the discovery of this computer is dramatic, because we need to know what happened to the people that developed it. One of the theories, and I reject this theory, that the Egyptians had all this and it was so advanced and the blah, 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 and they were all killed off when Rome invaded. They burned the libraries, they killed the physicians, they killed the doctors. Okay, if you're finding inventions that you don't understand, wouldn't you do an Operation Paperclip, Roman style? And if you don't know what that is, it was where we had German scientists that some of them could have been put to death in the Nuremberg trials, but their lives were spared because they had technology primarily in the area of physics that we could possibly exploit for advanced technology and weapons. So they were brought here and debriefed for years to try to get this technology that they were so advanced in. Why wouldn't the Romans do Operation Paperclip? They were certainly intelligent enough to figure out they got a better way of doing something. We better find out how it works. I don't believe they didn't try. Someone grabbed the knowledge. Tell me what you think in the comment section. We're actually going to explore the Antikythera mechanism over on the TV side, the commonsensical.tv. We're going to go into great depth and detail on this over time. It's not something I think we can cover in one sitting. And we're still looking at Atlantis, Lemuria, the legends, and trying to compare what different civilizations say. We're compiling that now, too. So pretty interesting. And oh, one more thing. If you followed me for any length of time, you know Dr. Sherry Edwards, right? The creator, inventor of what? Bioacoustics. Telling truth from the frequency of a voice, being able to pick up health situations from your frequency. And you're going, oh my, can you really do that? Oh, she's proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt. She's made the knowledge free. And we're going with our interview up on that site, the TV show. And that's going to air, I believe, on Monday. We're going to put out some of it on our podcast on Tuesday. And she has some real interesting things to say about what's going on right now. And she has done a health analysis of me. I had two things wrong with me when I was a very young child, when I was a toddler, actually. And I outgrew them for the most part. And I didn't have residuals for years. And she knew about this from analyzing my voice. It's fantastic stuff. I've said the future of medicine is frequency, and every disease has its own frequency, and so does the cure. And we're just beginning to catch up to this. Sherry's way ahead of the pack, and you should check it out. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. We'll see you over there. Thanks for joining us. I really look forward to your comments. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And as predicted, and we kind of got this one right here at the Common Sense Show. I told you this was coming. And not only are we going to announce this major development in international relations, we're also going to talk about the implications for you and me. And they're quite substantial. I want to remind you that Magic Dice Call has that great 15% off retail price for 3 nanosoma liquids that boost your immune system to unbelievable levels, responsible for putting me where I'm at today, where I'd have been in real trouble. Of course, you've got the nanosoma gel, and that nanosoma gel is fantastic because when I started to work out really hard, the joints, the old joint problems, my bone on bone knee came back, started using the gel, gone. Muscles hurt today after leg workout, the knee is fine. And then, of course, the skin cream, which removes fine line and wrinkles. It's a great deal. All 3 of these groundbreaking products available at 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Really glad to be with you here because I've got monumental news and it's extremely positive. I'm comfortable with this larger than life man looking over my shoulder. He's accomplished a lot. I'm not a Putin fan. Believe me, I'm not. We got the best of the deal here with Trump. But Putin does care about his people. Putin indeed does want peace. I'm going to lay that out for you. A little bit more on his terms than I'd like to see. But I said this was going to happen. And I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying the only answer for the United States and Russia to stay free of globalization and dominance over their respective countries is to have an alliance between the two nations. And I'm going to walk you through the stair-step process where this is already underway, as predicted. Now, I'll end up telling you why this is a good thing. They'll say, oh, we're getting to bed with the Russians. It's such a bad thing. Oh, the Democrats are going to have a field day with this. Trust me. I'm surprised they haven't already started. Event number one, Trump and Putin are exchanging barbs, but I think it's theater. They know the process of working out a deal is complicated, and they got to appear to be strong to their own people. I get that. But I've also said it's in their best interest to work this out, particularly for Putin. He's conscripted on paper 160,000 new recruits. This is causing backlash with the people in Russia. They don't want this. They want this war over. They're in a similar position that we were in towards the end of the Vietnam War domestically. And Putin wants out of this, but he's got to leave in such a way that he maintains the favor of the oligarchs and that he appears to be strong to his people. And it says to the world, we're still Russia. Don't mess with us. I get that. And I support him in those endeavors. But this is not something that's going to be avoided. A Russian-American alliance is coming. Now, I'm not sure what form it'll take because it can't appear to be a direct alliance, in my humble opinion. But in effect, they can negotiate subsets of an alliance that effectively, collectively, make it an alliance. Trump needs to avoid any war. Congratulations to him for talking to the people from Iran. More on that later. He's surrounding China. I know without even being told, of course, I have been told that we have forces on the ground in China trying to perpetuate a coup against Xi because he's going after 1,300 of his major command officers. And the young people hate him and the farmers hate him and he's in trouble. Gordon Chang said it really well in an interview I saw 2 days ago. Gordon, who is a Chinese expert, bar none, he's exceptional. Gordon said Xi Jinping would be lucky to wake up tomorrow. I agree with that. Regime change could come like this, but he needs a war to try to get out of it. Well, Trump is trying to prevent that with solid deterrence. He's talking to Iran, and there appears to be give and take going on. And I think that's very positive because the war you avoid, unless you just give away your defense, is a good war. Then he needs to turn his attention to domestic issues, and this is why he can't afford war. Putin is faced with similar situations. And I'll tell you, when I knew they were going to do a deal, the International Court of The Hague wanted to come after Putin for violation and bypassing sanctions levied against his country. The U.S., which was part of this, would not pursue the legal action. I said, uh-oh, there's a deal coming. And that was really the first sign that I knew this was coming. Now, Dmitry Peskov, he received senior delegation members of the Trump administration last week, and they had a very productive talk, according to all sides. Now, the Kremlin, trying to be coy, said, we're going to have a meeting between Putin and Trump, but it'll have to be a time that's convenient for us. Okay, that's the being coy. The message that we should clearly hear is the two big guys are having a meeting. And let me tell you, that meeting with Peskov and with senior administrative officials obviously went well. And now it's led to all the big guys got to do is sit down and iron out the fine points. This is going to happen. Now, I don't see us exchanging military equipment and doing joint military maneuvers, at least not right away. But we're going to have the elements of what's an effective. When Starmer in the UK said, globalism is over. That quote's been everywhere, as you've seen. That's pretty remarkable for Starmer, the prime minister, to really make that claim. He saw this come in the same way that I did. Now, let's talk about what this means for you and me. Number one, we're not sending our kids off to die. Not that Trump would do that anyway. This would be totally self-defense if Trump had to do it. Number two, we're going to see the removal of sanctions. And I think they got to stair step it so Trump can make it look like he's winning. And Putin is going to call each removal a sanction justification of the Russian position. But nonetheless, they're moving away the barriers that are preventing them from trading. Russia's clearly locked into the BRICS. What's Trump been focused on? Crypto and gold. It's not an accident, people. We are looking at something coming quickly. And I think it's going to happen very quickly because in a week, they have the BRICS meetings. Are they going to totally de-dollarize? Well, you think the Trump people would be pushing Putin, hey, let's come to an agreement here so this is not an impactful event for the United States. And that's another factor to consider. That means your dollar is going to hold some value for a little while longer. It's not indefinite. We've got to find backing for the dollar. But I believe this is a move that will extend that period where we can still depend on the dollar as best we can. All right. The next thing that I look at here as an issue here is Iran clearly will stand down. Clearly. Because the Russian foreign minister said last week, we're not obligated to protect Iran if they're involved in disputes with other countries. I was stunned to hear that. And I said, man, they're going to move towards an agreement. And then it all started falling into place. Now, what this also means is some of these international organizations that think they have the right to take our taxpayer money, that think they have the right to initiate domestic policy in our country and get some kind of puppet in this country to enforce what they want, that day is over, at least for the time being. National independence is going to be maintained. And this is the key goal for both men. And you have to look at Russia. They've become very westernized. If you don't believe me, go on YouTube and put in Russian nightlife, Russian religion, Russian economy. It's not the Stalin model. It's modern. Putin is a progressive thinker. Like him or not, he is very progressive in his thinking. He's forward thinking. And better to trade than to fight. Where does that leave China without a Russian ally? Where does that leave China with the possibility and probability America and Russia will stand up for each other? That day is coming. So the next time that Mueller says, Russia, 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 he might be right. But no one dare call it treason because it stops a war. It probably stops two other wars. And it signals the beginning of economic boom for both countries with cooperation among them. This is a good thing. Now, the one thing I want to say, this is the Christian humanitarian side in me. I feel horrible for Ukraine. And Putin and Russia is to blame for starting this. Yes, I know there were provocations, but does that justify what happened? Not in my book. And Russia needs to help the United States make this right with the Ukrainian people, and we need to restore this nation to be not just as it was, but to be better than it was, and make them a trading partner and a player on the world stage where they're respected and not forced into these conflicts. And Putin, I think, has seen the light on this. There's going to be hard feelings for years between Ukraine and Russia, and I hope calmer heads prevail, that commando groups don't surface and sabotage what's coming. That is a concern I have. But right now, I'm happy to deliver good news to you. Too many times here in our work in the alternative media, we are forced to deal with the negative. And it can be such a downer after a while. It wears on us, and we have to present it. It's almost like you have to go take a shower to wash the filth off. But this is a time where I feel really good. I see light. I see hope. By the way, in case you're wondering, Putin attends the Russian Orthodox Church. I'm not holding him up as a saint, but I'm saying there certainly is no longer just light at the end of the tunnel. We're both in the tunnel together, and I'm hopeful how this is going to turn out. Our economy is going to turn. Nations are going to buckle with the tariffs. The ones that don't will be destroyed economically. So I don't think we'll see many of those. China is self-destructing with their approach in the tariffs because they need us more than we need them. And this is good. There's just too many good things going on in a row. But as you know, there are people that always want to put a fly in the ointment. Pray that doesn't happen and pray to God, thank him for this opportunity to make things right and to put off Armageddon, hopefully, to a later generation. Not the next one, a much later one. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com, and go to the newsletter link, put in your email address. Trust me, we laughed about this morning in an interview. We don't sell your data. I mean, people do. It's legal. They can do it. I don't. I won't. All I want to do is keep you informed. It's one-stop shopping once a day with an email for everything we do in the previous 24 hours, and people love it. Over 50,000 people love it. Sign up today. Hey, thanks for joining us. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the link. Put in your email address, join over 50,000 people. They're taking advantage of the one-stop shopping. The TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today. The hips, I'll tell you, that series has taken off like crazy, and we have big plans for that as well. And we have our geopolitics and our interviews. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon. We do appreciate it. Any donations are greatly, greatly appreciated. You guys are always in our prayers here at The Common Sense Show. Hey, we have something really, really interesting for you. But before we do, need to let you know, banks are in trouble. BRICS are meeting next week to try to de-dollarize the dollar. That's going to cause a ripple effect to the banks. Is your bank going to be affected? They can keep everything that you have with the bank because of Dodd-Frank 2010. Don't let them get your retirement. Don't let them get your savings. And don't miss out on great investment opportunities with the gold. It's up 46% in the last year. It's beat every other investment. Now, I have to give you a warning here. Any kind of investment carries an inherent risk, and we fully give that warning in good faith as required by the FTC. I'll say this. I have been an advertiser for Noble Gold for 8.5 years. I've been a customer for 7.5 years. You go, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, multiple deals, too. So that's my answer to the concerns. And what you can do right now is go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet, DaveHodgesGold.com, and the number for Noble Gold will also be on there as well. Take advantage of this now. don't have a 1929 moment. Well, we have something interesting to look at here, and this is absolutely fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Lindell's in the news, and not for the right reasons. So Mike Lindell goes to the border, and the Canadian border. He crosses over often to do business, and he's stopped and harassed by Canadian border authorities. I just want to break out in the song, "Can't We Be Friends? Can't We Be Friends?" Remember that song from the 70s? No, I didn't sing it well, but I'm sure you remember that if you're old enough to remember. Well, this is terrible. Has Canada become our enemy now? We're supposed to let them abuse us with one-sided trades? Here, Mike Lindell, after he is detained for 2 hours, listen to him tell the rest of the story.
I wish I had the papers. I didn't get them up for Nessa. I was going to make copies and show people this lady because I wanted to put her name out there. This lady had so much hate when she seen it was me. It was unreal. The hate that came out of her was it was absolutely beyond anything I've seen. We were detained a couple hours. They brought me in an interrogation room. She called me a criminal at least 20 times trying to get me to get upset. She goes, "You're a criminal. You're a thief. You're an assaulter. She just kept going on and on. And I'm sitting there going, okay, what's going on? Then she goes, "I know who you are. I know who you are." And I go, "But don't think I'm treating you any different than any other criminal." And I'm going, wow. "I'm quite sure you are treating me a little different." that was about that. That's about as bad as it got where I said that. And she couldn't get me a rise out of me. I've been in terrible situations like this before. But she said, "You were not allowed to come into Canada, and now you're trying to break into Canada." This is what she's telling me. "We are going to keep you, detain you, and not let you leave Canada." And this is what she was saying to me.
You're breaking into Canada, so we're not going to let you leave. Yeah.
Not going to let you leave. They were going to take me for sure away. I don't know about Kendra. And I'm going, and then I had those papers on my phone. I had copies of them because she was asking me. And I said, "Here," and I pulled them up and I showed her. I said, "This is what they told me to do a year ago in Canada." And she, she says, "I can keep you for indefinitely." "You're a criminal. You're a criminal." She kept telling me that. And it was disgusting, everybody. It was a full-blown attack.
Mike Lindell disappears, held indefinitely, somewhere we know not where. Look under the bed, look under the pillow. Oh, that could be bad. Anyway, listen, you heard enough here. This is Canada? This is how they're going to treat us now? I'm sorry, Canadian government, not the Canadian people. Don't listen to this. But the Canadian government, listen to me. Listen, you've been ripping us off for years. Your trade agreements with us are so one-sided, it's disgusting. And now we're going to even it. And because of that, you're going to harass Americans and threaten them with indefinite. I mean, this is what you do with terrorists under the enemy combatant part of the National Defense Authorization Act. You can hold them indefinitely because they're an enemy combatant. That's basically what she's telling Mike Lindell. "You're a criminal. You're an assaulter." Well, not unless he has a pillow fight. Anyway, Mike, I'm glad to see you're back in one piece. I won't be going to Canada. Sorry, no tourist dollars here for you. We'll see you later, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much to Mike Lindell for sharing this horrendous story. God bless you, Mike.